Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Kristen Kenny from Red Bull Global Rallycross, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the fifth edition of Thursday Night Thunder. I know. I'm your host, Adam Jason. There. As well as absolutely. And whatever other mark. Not so tough. About the monster brother. First half. Touch NASCAR down us and in town last weekend. Matt Kent. Driver of the this is a behavioral test. Point one. Correct the number of car drivers. Leading the race. The number of car was not. Additionally, factored in aspects of the fact that Patrick is in line for loss of the 25 and based on that. Later on, as most of you, among the numerous characters here, head of NASCAR, after watching several pundits calls, it reminded me that it doesn't give NASCAR a they created the ball. Very unreliable entity. If they should be. Let's ponder that thought for a while. As a building, Southern California, Joshua Allen, finalist. All companies valued at $100,000. Battery tank. The shootout, part of the mouth. Firing professional sport. With the up of the driving among thousands of club races we were invited. From those only not on the sport. High caliber. Joshua Allen. Send along. Joshua, got a motor. Seven of those. There's a test. I was riding during that time. Italian for established racing. Now working racing. The Allenberg racing. He also does. Great. He maintains a website. Joshua demonstrates by winning championships in the auto sports. Highly prepared must, supported by Robert Davis and Kershaw, South Carolina. At the shootout, Joshua tested on technical shooting. He must also demonstrate this. John Doon, director of Mazda Murat, noted that the 9 qualifies the fact that the identified 9 out shows the trend. Mazda is so proud of the prize driver. Joshua will be posting it. See on Twitter. At Musk. Hashtag MRT. Segment. Highlighting. We now proud to welcome Joshua Allen.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you better now. When I was listening earlier, it was a little bit garbled.
Okay. You never know. Sometimes the connection is a little weird.
Oh, yeah, it seems to be cutting in and out.
In one word, how would you describe your season?
Oh, one word. I would say progress describes my season.
And what's your most racing moment?
That would have to be at the Western Championship, NASA, at Mazda Raceway. I was entering the corkscrew and applied my brakes, and my foot went right to the floor. I had enough braking power to make the corner, but at that point I had to figure out whether it was worth continuing the race and potentially harming myself in my car or continuing on and fighting for the championship. So I took the prudent route and backed off. But after a couple of corners, I got my confidence back with the brakes and was able to challenge again for the lead and took the win.
What are your goals for the
I think I'm just going to keep working on climbing the motorsports ladder. And right now I'm looking to find a sponsor that I can partner with to provide them with the benefits that motorsports marketing brings. And winning the Road to 24 shootout would be a big factor in achieving these goals for 2016 and creating a compelling package for my supporters. Sorry, I lost you there. I think you asked, what is the Road to 24 shootout? So the Road to 24 shootout is an opportunity that Mazda provides to club racers to move on to the next level, to actually move into pro racing. And they're giving us about $100,000 worth of value in the 2016 Mazda MX-5 Cup pro race with SCCA. And it's a huge opportunity for us because it allows us to move on and attract sponsorship and become more well-known within the professional racing community.
What advice would you give someone thinking about it?
Race a Mazda. I mean, honestly, Mazda has the best support system within club racing, and they're providing racers with the opportunity to move to the next level, as I just mentioned. Mazda has a great parts support program where racers get parts at a discount price, better than what you could get at a shop. They also have great contingencies for champions. I think this year I'm probably going to come home with about $4,500 just from winning races regionally and the championship. So Mazda is just out there supporting racers all the time, and that's what I love about him. From a general perspective, I would say commitment. Commitment is the most important part of racing because, you know, it's tough at times, and it's a huge commitment as far as your time and your finances. And if you're not committed to it, then, you know, there's still opportunities to enjoy racing, and there's still plenty of opportunities within the automotive racing or within the racing industry. But if you want to be a driver, you really have to be committed to climbing that ladder and moving into the pro ranks. That's what it takes. I really like the sports car racing, the kind of racing that I'm doing right now with my Mazda MX-5. I specifically like the endurance racing because it puts the machine and the driver and the team at, you know, the highest level, the highest challenge to compete over a longer time. Just make it to the end sometimes is what it takes in order to win. But so much can happen in an endurance race, and that's what's really exciting to me. The sports car racing is exciting to me because it really has a direct relationship with the cars that we see on the road. So, you know, you can take a street car, you put a roll cage in it, you do all these performance modifications, and you have a race car. Similarly, in the higher ranks, you know, maybe in prototype racing, for example, they're developing new technologies that can be brought into the street cars that we're driving, you know, on a daily basis. And that's really interesting to me as an engineer.
How do you feel about the fact that
I only got the first few words.
How do you feel about the Mazda?
Hey, Adam, can you hear me okay? You had mentioned something about diesel. Hey, Adam, I'm afraid we're having a really bad connection.
But thank you very much for coming on the program this evening.
Hey, thank you a lot. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on your show and talk to your fans and talk to you about this amazing opportunity that Mazda is presenting.
Good luck at the shootout. Talk next week.
Thank you very much.
That was Josh Allen. Perfect. Let's go ahead and get back. Field observer. The original Fendi. Fine, hearing the test, the decision. Two. On here, staff news test. One, still impressive. Two, placed on
about your race car, it sure looks bent. Will you be here next week, and are we still friends? I really didn't mean it was a racing deal. I got a little too close, it got a little too real. Then you checked up in the corner and I tapped you in the rear. You went spinning somewhere and it's all so clear. There's a devil in your helmet. on tonight. Devil in your helmet, giving bad advice. It's been a good day so far. I put her in the show, sitting nice and pretty outside front row. Two laps later, babe is on a rail, going for the lead with the devil on my tail. Then wham bam, thank you ma'am, where'd they all go? Late break, burn, turn, there's the wall. No, please not the radiator, please not the clip. You may be the savior, but here's a little tip. Well, there's a devil in your helmet, who's on tonight? Devil in your helmet, giving bad advice. Put her on the trailer, take her to the shop. Lay in bed, toss and turn, well, shouldn't I not? Plan a little payback, plan a little hell. Y'all shake your hand, pal, but only time will tell. If there's a devil in your helmet, who's on tonight? Devil in your helmet, giving bad advice. Devil in your helmet, well, so the story goes. Devil in your helmet, and now everybody knows, and now everybody knows.
In 2015, Richard was elected. Outside of
hello? Can you guys hear me?
Hello?
Hello. Sam.
Again, this is Thursday Night Thunder with Adam Sinclair and co-host Michael Mullally, and we're here tonight talking to Rich Eklund. Rich Eklund is 22 years old from Germantown, New York, a very small town roughly 2 hours north of New York City. Eklund joined iRacing in 2012 and quickly found success in the Mazda MX-5, winning 2 world championships in a very competitive MX-5 league in 2013 and 2015.
Also in 2015, Richard was selected as one of 2 competitors from iRacing to take part in the 2015 Mazda Road to 24 shootout against seven other racers from Real World Racing. Outside of racing, Richard is a full-time student pilot.
Hello, Richard, and thanks for coming on the program. Sorry about our technical glitches this evening, but we're doing the best we can.
Hey there, I got you now. Everything seems to be okay.
That's good. Many of the individuals chosen to compete for the Mazda Road to 24 come from the world of iRacing. Can you tell us a little bit more about this form of motorsports and how it helps modern racers improve their craft?
I think actually just two of us were selected to go to the shootout from iRacing, but I'd be surprised if everybody from the shootout hasn't actually been in there at one point or another. iRacing is a great tool to hone your skills as a racer. They have so many different cars and tracks and so many different drivers you can compete against across the whole world. It's an unprecedented service for sure. You can practice as much as you want, so you can really hone in your skills on each track, learn the tracks and the setup of the car, learn the behavior of the car, and just a great tool to gain experience in general.
What's your favorite track?
There's so many great tracks to choose from. It's pretty hard to choose just one, but I have a top three for sure. That's the Sebring, Silverstone, and Road Atlanta.
And what do you like about those three specifically?
Sebring just has so many different types of corners. They have fast turns, slow turns, long straights. They have sweeping turns, hairpins. It's just a great combination of different turns. And I guess the same could be said for Silverstone. It has so many classic turns. And when I say Silverstone, I speak of the old version. I haven't really tried the new version because iRacing hasn't got that just yet. But the old version, in my mind, is really, really good. And Road Atlanta has the elevation change, unlike the other two tracks, which are quite flat. So the elevation makes things really fun. And then the S's in Road Atlanta are really special.
What's your ultimate racing goal?
My ultimate goal in racing is to be competing in the Tudor United Sports Car Championship with Mazda in their prototype. That is certainly would be a dream of mine.
How would you compare the world of flying to auto racing?
Flying and racing surely have a few things in common, but you know, they're not identical by any means. But you know, the main thing is that you always have to know your airplane very well, same way you have to know your race car. You have to know all the systems and everything in the event of a failure. If something goes wrong, then you know how to deal with it, whether or not you actually need that system to continue. If it's an emergency, if you need to, you know, abort the mission, whatever the mission is, if it's just to, you know, fly to another place or to finish the race, same thing. If you need to pull off the track, if it's going to be a terminal failure or, you know, just a smaller thing like that. Also, the judgment from the feedback that you get. The airplane's telling you one thing, and then you have to translate that and decide what that means and whether or not you have to make an adjustment. Same thing with the car. You feel the grip from the tires. You feel the G-forces from the seat. It's quite similar in an airplane with all the G-forces and vibrations and everything. You feel if something's different than what it's supposed to be, you feel that. And then if something's wrong, check your instruments and all that kind of stuff. So they definitely have some similarities, but in general, they're, you know, quite different.
You mentioned that your ultimate goal is to race in the Tudor Championship. If you were in charge of IMSA, what for one day, what changes would you make?
I mean, for sure, some things can always be changed and improved, and nothing's ever perfect. But not having been involved directly with IMSA myself, I don't think I'm really in a position to, you know, start suggesting changes.
Mm-hmm. Now I'd like to throw it out to Michael Mullally and Afraid of Washington, who has a couple of questions for you as well.
Okay.
What made you decide to start flying?
Well, my dad is a pilot, and I've been around it sort of my whole life. And besides racing, flying is my second passion, really. So I always wanted to either be a race car driver or a pilot. And racing was sort of the main thing I always wanted to do, but it was becoming more and more unrealistic to do that. I mean, you can't take a student loan to go racing. So flying is sort of the next best thing in my mind, and traveling is something I like to do. And if I can do that as a career, then that's certainly not a bad thing. So that's why I got into flying.
Have you ever been skydiving?
I have not, no. My brother has, and I watched him, but I didn't go up with him that day, unfortunately.
Yeah, it sounds scary. What is the toughest track you've ever competed on?
Toughest track? That's a tough one. Probably Bathurst, for sure, now that I think about it. That's actually one of my favorites, too. I'd forgotten about that track. That's definitely the toughest because the walls are so close, and iRacing doesn't really have any other street tracks. So, yeah, Bathurst.
Do you, in your opinion, because I've seen a lot of videos and stuff on YouTube about Bathurst, do you believe that that is one of the most dangerous tracks in the world?
Dangerous? Certainly, there's plenty of opportunities to crash there. But, I don't know. That's a tough one. It's definitely got to be up there, though.
Other forms of racing, if any, do you follow?
Formula One, I've always been following. That's what got me into motorsports in general. I was like 7 years old when I first saw my race, our first race, and that's what I follow the main thing. And then also every now and then I'll tune into a NASCAR race or something. And a good friend of mine, Dylan Marcotte, races in the Lamborghini Super Trofeo series, and also a few races he's done in Continental Tire, so I follow all those races also.
Who is one race car driver you really look up to?
Kimi Raikkonen, for sure. He's without him, I don't think I would have ever even thought about auto racing as sort of interesting, so definitely him.
You mentioned you followed the Lamborghini Super Trofeo series. How do you feel about Lamborghini getting more involved in IMSA next season?
Yeah, I think it's great. A few years ago, I read that Lamborghini wasn't really interested in racing, and I thought that was a shame, but I guess they changed their mind, or maybe the article wasn't true, but it's awesome to see a Lamborghini racing in Super Trofeo and then coming into GT3 next year. It's going to be great. They have some of the best-looking and sounding cars out there on the market, so it's great that they have involvement in motor racing now.
Given the change in Mazda from diesel to gasoline power next season, do you think that'll help out their prototype program? And how do you think that change will affect the overall series?
Well, they were sort of running in their own class, I think, with the diesels, right? So they're kind of competing against themselves, which isn't sort of ideal from a spectator's point of view. But I'm sure that they had plenty of learning experiences from that, and I'm sure it was beneficial to them for their road cars and their diesel program for that. So I'm sure as a program as a whole, it worked out for them. But as a spectator, it's great to see them going back to gasoline and then racing against the other similar cars.
And hopefully they have a good season. I know they had some overheating issues and other things. Hopefully the gas power won't provide that, will solve that problem a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully, because we all know that Mazda has plenty of experience in racing and they know how to win. So as long as they don't have mechanical issues, then I'm sure they'll be right up at the top.
And what exactly is involved in the Mazda shootout that's coming up in a couple of days? I asked Josh Allen that a little bit, but we had some connection issues.
Yep, so we get there on the Sunday, and we do sort of interviews and PR stuff. And then the following day, on Monday, we go out on track, and we have 4 or 5 15 to 20-minute sessions. And that's not including a 15-minute warm-up in the beginning of the day. And then on the third day, depending on what they want to see, they might want to see a couple of us back out on track, or they might not. But in terms of the driving, they want to see consistent and fast. You know, if you're fast on one lap and then 2 seconds off the next lap, it's not ideal. And they also want good technical feedback, understanding of the car, setup changes and all that kind of stuff they want you to be aware of. So basically they're looking for a complete racing driver, somebody who's not just quick on one lap, somebody who can do a whole race without doing any mistakes, somebody who can provide feedback from the car, and also somebody who's good at marketing and who's smart off the track and understands how to present themselves.
So it's similar to the Nissan Academy that they had a couple of years ago, where they brought in the big group of people and narrowed it down to one or two drivers that they wanted to bring into the big program.
Yeah, it's something like that. I think Mazda's program has been around even longer than that, though. But yeah, same sort of concept.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good luck with that in the next few days, and hopefully we see you in the future in the 24 hours of Daytona.
That's the goal. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Once again, that was Rich Eklund, who will be competing this in the next few days in the Mazda Shootout. I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program and for putting up with our technical issues that are hopefully over now, because we have two more guests to come on in about the next 10, 20 minutes or so. So how do you feel about the penalty that was upheld today against Matt Kenseth?
I mean, I can see why people are upset about it, but at the same time, I think it's good. I mean, I think that he definitely deserves it, so I think it's good. What about you?
I'm on the other side of the coin there. I think what they're doing is they're using this as a I actually agree a little bit with what Joey Logano said this afternoon. They're using this as a way to set an example and to gain control of a sport that might have gone a little bit out of their control. And the reason it went out of their control is because they had that boys have at it statement they gave a couple of years ago, where they basically had these self-policing of the sport, and they don't like the way that's going. So they decided to take a former champion, a guy who's never had any serious on-track issues, and make an example of him, park him for two races, and it just shows that the NASCAR is fairly inconsistent in the application of their rules, because they've never parked somebody for that many races. They've parked Kyle Busch a couple of years ago for two races, but that was two races in the same weekend. It was the Sprint Cup race and the Xfinity race, and that's a little bit different. So definitely a precedent, and hopefully it's one that you never know if it'll actually be a precedent, or if it'll just be a one-time deal. And from the way NASCAR has officiated their races in the past year, it's totally up in the air as to what their decisions are week to week. So you never know. But I'm sure Joey Logano will be happy. But it'll be interesting to see what happens in Homestead when Kenseth comes back, if he is really upset and decides to slam to the side of him because he can, and into his 20-year career with a big bang, as it were.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not just because I'm a Joey Logano fan, because let's face it, it's not a secret, but I feel like what happened at Kansas, I believe, was what you would call a racing incident. You know, he was blocking. I mean, if you're blocking, you're going to get moved out of the way if you're in it to win it. And I don't know, I just feel like hitting him like he did this last race was maybe a bit overkill, seeing as how he was like 9 laps down. I feel like if he would have hit him, I don't know, to begin with, it might have been, I don't want to say better, that's not the word I'm looking for, but I feel like doing that 9 laps down is kind of what sealed his fate a little bit.
Probably. So you would have rather have him slam into him when he passed him the first time, then slam into him, push him into the wall, and yeah. That would have been interesting. I think that there's a little bit of Matt Kenseth who probably wanted to do that, and a little bit of it was hoping that he'd just move him out of the way and drive off and leave him behind him. And when that didn't happen, he got more and more upset as the race went on.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I can see it from other points of view, too. So, I don't know. It's a tough one.
It is. It's definitely been a quite the discussion point on Twitter and Facebook the past few days. The past guest we had on here, I think last year now, Allie Owens there is actually considering giving up her NASCAR license, which she's been so desperate to hold on to the past few years, and isn't interested in following it anymore. Another former guest in the program, is a crew chief for the ASA, Jay Havens, I believe his name is, in Canada, is also no longer interested in NASCAR and says that he doesn't think that their rules are applied fairly and they should bring in somebody to explain the rules individually to each driver, which probably isn't going to happen. But there's a lot of strong opinions behind what happened this past weekend, and it'll be interesting to see what happens this next weekend, whether there's a similar issue, because as they showed on the highlight thing on NASCAR America this afternoon, the next race is always a high-pressure race as well, because how's the thing with Clint Boyer and Jeff Gordon the other year, and I don't think they'll have to worry about that this year, but you never know, it could be two different drivers who are beating each other up in the garage area after the race. They're trying to anyway.
Yeah, well, and that's what someone said on Facebook. I mean, I wanted to like screenshot some of the posts and post them to the Thursday Night Thunder page, but I didn't do it. Anyways, someone put more or less, you know, they're parking Matt Kenseth for two races, and I can't remember how they put it, but more or less, are they going to park the entire field if they all wreck each other this next race? And mm-hmm. I mean, they have a point, you know, like. But the way I see it is Mr. Matt Kenseth blatantly wrecked Joey Logano. So I could see it if it was like, you know, a racing deal where he just rubbed him to let him know, you know, I'm still pissed off at you. But he blatantly wrecked him. So I don't know. I can understand why people are mad, though.
They should just bring in the Bice brothers and have them go wreck them into the walls like they do in their demolition derby stuff.
Yeah, see, that would be interesting.
There you go. Next, we'd like to welcome Mark Drennan to the program. Drennan is a self-taught racer who has taken the typical modern-day route to becoming an amateur champion, starting with racing simulator and moving to karting and finally to sports cars. Like many young racers, Drennan started racing on his computer, where he first started to learn the skill of threshold everything, the art of nailing the perfect qualifying lap, and the craft needed to win races. Drennan spent 6-plus years racing people around the world on Grand Prix Legends, which was developed by David Kamer, the co-founder of iRacing. He joined iRacing shortly after its launch in 2008, where he qualified and competed in their inaugural Road Racing Pro Series Top 250 in the world, securing a top spot in their inaugural Drivers' World Championship, the top 50 in the world. He has spent the past decade pursuing his racing dream, competing in the Jim Russell Karting Series, the SCCA, Spec Miata, and NASA. Now, he is ready to take the next natural step, the pursuit of championships at a professional level. We are now happy to welcome Mark Drennan to the program.
Hello, Adam.
Hello,
Michael,
how
are
you
doing? How's it going? I'm doing
not
fantastic. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
In one word, how would you describe your season?
I would have to say champion.
Yeah. And how would you describe the Mazda Road to 24?
Well, it's an amazing program. There's really nothing like it in the world. No other car manufacturer provides such an amazing ladder program that supports drivers coming from grassroots like myself, all the way up to the ultimate level in sports car racing in North America, which is the 24 Hours of Daytona. This year, Mazda will award more than $2 million in scholarships to winning drivers, and it's just a phenomenal program, and it's really what dreams are made of and what I've been pursuing for the last handful of years since I started racing in sports cars.
What have you done to prepare for the Mazda Road to 24 shootout that's coming up in a couple of days?
Yeah, it's been quite a bit. They've kept us busy with some assignments, which has been very interesting. But beyond that, I've really taken time to reach out to former participants and series champions and race engineers and trying to gain insights from them into the experience I'm just about to undertake, as well as I've been studying quite a bit around just the chassis dynamics and the engineering that goes into the race car. And beyond that, really making sure I am well prepared to answer any questions related to my proposals, my business proposals for corporate sponsorships and for my PR campaign. And beyond that, I've also brushed up on my data analysis skills. There's quite a bit of data acquisition that we use throughout the year and that I use in my coaching. And so I just always want to make sure that I'm prepared for that part of the interviews, which will be part of the shootout process.
We've talked quite a bit on this program about the difficulties in finding sponsors, and I know you just mentioned that sponsorship proposals are part of the deal in this next few days. What advice would you give somebody who's interested in trying to find a sponsor to help help fulfill their racing dream?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's becoming increasingly difficult. Nowadays, it's not enough to just put somebody's name on your car. I guess the easy way to fund yourself in racing is either to play the lottery or to marry rich. But if you can't do that, then you really need to figure out a way to bring value to a corporate partner. They need to see some return on the investment. And so it really requires understanding what the objectives of that business are and finding a way to help them achieve those objectives so they do see the return and are able to justify the expense. But that's very difficult. It takes a fair amount of research and homework to understand that business. And you probably have to knock on a bunch of doors and face quite a bit of rejection. My personal plan is really to leverage the contacts that I have here in the Silicon Valley, in the San Francisco Bay Area. There's a lot of technology money in the area and a lot of interest in auto sports and racing, and then use the assets that I have available, my race cars and my skill behind the wheel, to help develop programs that these corporations could use to provide incentive programs for their salespeople or provide a VIP experience to a hospitality experience to some of their VIP customers so they would actually get a valuable experience in exchange for hopefully some funding to help me continue racing.
Of all the different cars you've raced, which one's your favorite?
Yeah, great question. So I basically started racing in Spec Miata, and that's really where my first love resides. This year, through some of the success I've had over the years, I was very fortunate to have a couple opportunities to drive different cars. And so this last season, I won championships racing a Spec Mustang in the San Francisco region SECA, as well as a new class called Spec E46, which is a BMW 330. And they're all so much fun to drive, but really the most fun is the Spec Miata. It's the best handling car, and the competition is really the best in the nation. There's no other class that is as large or as competitive as Spec Miata, and so it really requires maximum efforts and maximum technique to be able to compete at the top of the field. It is still fun to get in the Spec Mustang and blow by my Spec Miata buddies, but there's really nothing like a Miata. And that's what I recommend to really anybody that wants to get into racing, that eventually you find yourself within the amateur ranks in a Spec Miata category.
Well, now I'd like to throw it out to Michael Mullally, who has a couple questions for you as well.
Great, thanks.
If you weren't racing, what career path do you feel like you would have followed?
Well, that's a great question. I actually am a professional, and so I live in Silicon Valley, which is really the epicenter of technology innovation. And for the past 15 to 20 years, I've led recruiting organizations for these technology companies. And so my team, their charter is to go out and find the most talented people to hire and help our companies achieve our goals. And so I've already established that career, and really racing is It's where my passion lies, and it's really, it's been a hobby. If I could make a career out of it, that would be fantastic, but very challenging to do for anybody. And even if you were to win this scholarship, you really need to bring additional funds to the table to be able to successfully campaign the season.
What is your greatest racing memory?
Wow, that's a great question. I've had a lot of them, especially this year. It's been a very successful year. I've been pursuing a national championship since I first started racing sports cars in 2007, and I had a couple failed, heartbreaking attempts in 2008 and 2014. In between those, I went broke and took a break from racing, but came back in 2013, and I thought I won the SCCA runoffs last year at Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, but there was some compliance challenges with myself and many others, and so even though I was on the top step of the podium, I didn't actually receive the gold medal at the end of the final result. So this year, I think I more than made up for it by winning the NASA Western States Championships at Monster Raceway Laguna Seca, and then I headed east and was fortunate enough to win the Eastern States Championships at Virginia International Raceway. And those memories I'll treasure forever. Being a national champion is a huge thing, and it's really my ticket to this Mazda Road to 24 shootout.
What are you hoping? What are you hoping to get from the Mazda Road to 24 shootout?
Yeah, my goal is, of course, to win the shootout and really become a long-term partner with Mazda. I've always felt like I've been a family member of theirs, and it's a wonderful family to be a part of. But I believe I can bring a lot of value to them as their partner to help them grow from the grassroots involvement, the number of people that race Mazdas. And then at a professional level, I believe I can help them grow the MX5 Cup Series, and I also believe I can be a champion. I've contended with a lot of former series champions, and I've always been in top contention with them and have been able to be successful and victorious. And so I'm looking forward to getting the opportunity to be a factory driver with Mazda and to start winning championships at a professional level.
What is your favorite sports car?
My Mazda Miata. It's gotta be it. I love all sports cars. That's probably my favorite sports car, candidly, just because I get so much satisfaction out of driving it. And My new favorite is the brand new Global Cup car, the MX-5 Cup car that we'll be driving here in a couple of days. It's just a beautiful looking car, and I just can't wait to get behind the wheel of it.
Is your street car, like your personal car, a Mazda Miata too?
Well, it's not. So here in the Silicon Valley, we have a lot of traffic, and I drive a car that has a sticker on it that says that I get to drive in the carpool lane all by myself. So currently I'm driving a Chevy Volt, and previously I was driving a Toyota Prius. But again, it allowed me to drive in the carpool lane without a passenger. And even if you're only going 2 miles an hour faster than everybody else, it feels so good.
You mentioned the having the Toyota Prius. Did you ever see that? They had that car show on Speed a few years ago where they had Brian Vickers and Tommy Kendall street testing the Prius and trying to get up above 100 miles an hour.
Oh, I did not see that one. I would have loved to have seen it. But I can personally vouch for the fact that the Prius would go over 100 miles an hour, and it was electronically limited to 107 miles an hour. I actually verified that on numerous occasions. and I did get a ticket doing 99 miles an hour as I was driving down to Las Vegas for a go-kart race, and the police officer was not amused at all. And even though I was probably getting at least 35 miles of the gallon, he was not happy. The Prius actually was a lot of fun to drive. A lot of body roll, but a pretty nimble car. And you could actually drift it, but it needed to be wet, and it could only be under deceleration.
There you go. That's what they need for the Mazda Road to 24 shootout, is to incorporate the drifting into part of the event.
Well, I can guarantee you that will not be the fast way around the track, but it probably would be a lot of fun, no doubt about that. It's really important. I've heard from many people that I've spoken with that you can't drop wheels, and if you go four wheels off, you're probably out of the competition. So it's really important to really be consistent in your performance. Although I would love to do some donuts in the parking lot and that thing.
I know that one of the other people who's going to be involved in the competition, his daily job is working as a stunt driver at the Disney Hollywood Studios and their Lights, Motors, Action show there. So I'm sure he'd want to do some fancy stuff in the car.
Yeah, Eric Powell, great guy, and he drives his cars through flames and jumps them and all those types of crazy things that you really only kind of see on TV, but he gets to do that every day. So pretty cool job. I think I would trade my cubicle for that type of a job any day.
Well, we'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program this evening and wish you lots of luck in the shootout as well as the rest of your racing career.
Well, thank you so much. I really am very grateful for the opportunity to speak with both of you, Adam and Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a nice evening.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Once again, that was Mark Grennan, who will be competing in the Mazda Road to 24 shootout this next weekend. We wish him lots of luck in that. It should be quite the program, and I'm sure Mr. Eklund and Mr. Allen are also looking forward to having a really good time there as well. We've got a few minutes before our next guest is scheduled to be on the program. So let's take a small break here with Ron Pistone and the Pit Crew.
We go around and round. the outside. Wait and see ya. I'm afraid it's all over now.
Our last guest of the evening is 17-year-old spec Miata driver Mason Filippi. Speed and racing is in his DNA. Both his grandfathers and father are all gearheads and loved racing.
Mason grew up watching and attending racing events. He and his father went to motocross, arena cross, NASCAR, and short track events. At the age of 4, he got his first dirt bike, a Honda 50. He and his dad rode trails and tracks for the next few years. Ricky Carmichael was his idol, and he wanted to follow in his footsteps. But his parents said motocross was too dangerous. When Mason was 11, they purchased a couple of go-karts, and after a few practice days and a lot of grease, they were ready to race. He raced 2 years and went to large events such as Spring Nationals in Arizona and Super Nationals in Las Vegas. He really took to four wheels and the competition. The best thing to come out of karting was meeting great people like his coach, Darren Brassfield. Darren raced Trans Am, NASCAR, and IMSA. He was one of the best road racers of the 80s and 90s and a terrific coach.
Mason got his first Mazda Miata when he was 14. He and his dad would meet Darren in Buttonwillow to practice. He learned how to drive a stick shift in the parking lot. And 3 minutes later, he was on the track running laps. The 91 Miata was a great learning tool, but when they were ready to race, they found Greg Garneau to build them a race car. Mason was 15 years old when he went to SCCA driver school in February of 2014 and got his professional license. After his first race, SCCA signed off on his full competition license, and he was ready to race. Mason had a fun year of racing, and with lots of practice and the help of others, his driving and finishes improved. He qualified for the 2014 runoffs at Laguna Seca, where he got to run against the best SM drivers in the nation. It was a blast running bumper to bumper with top-notch racers. His greatest achievement in 2014 was being awarded the SCCA SFR Rookie of the Year Award.
Highs and lows keep you alive. This has been his 2015 season. For example, Mason started off with a major crash at Auto Club Speedway, but came back 3 months later and swept the field. Mason is now one of 9 drivers in North America to be selected to compete in the Mazda Road to 24 shootout. Along with Mark Jennon, they are hoping to go represent the West Coast in the best way possible.
Now we'd like to welcome Mason Filippi to the program. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Great. How are you?
Not too bad. Looking at the current field of drivers in IMSA, who do you want to have in your own dream team?
Probably Tom Long, Joe Barbosa, Sylvain Tremblay, and Joel Miller.
There you go. That would be a pretty good team there. Hard to beat, anyway. Memorable racing moment.
My most memorable racing moment was probably back at the Western Championships in one of the heat races, which counts as a Team Mazda Challenge race. I was leading the Team Mazda Challenge. I came to the bottom of the corkscrew, and I hit the wall. And so I was pretty angry after that, and I ended up coming back and passing for first place in Team Mazda Challenge and taking the Team Mazda Challenge win. That was fun.
How are you able to balance school and racing?
I usually lean towards racing because it's my main passion, but I, you know, do all my work usually on time. I mean, sometimes I have those few assignments that don't quite get in right away, but I get them all in by the end.
What's your favorite racetrack?
My favorite racetrack is Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca. It's super challenging, and it's just so much fun to be there. It has great weather.
And what's your ultimate racing goal?
Ultimate racing goal is probably to win the Rolex 24 at Daytona in prototype. I would also like to race professionally in any series.
Now I'd like to throw it out to Michael Mullally as a question for you as well.
What's your greatest racing memory?
Let's see. My greatest racing memory is probably those that one time at Mazda Race with Laguna Seca, hitting the wall and coming back and getting the Team Mazda Challenge win, and then starting on pole at the Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca Championships.
Do you feel like, in a way, you kind of have an advantage being so young and wise?
I'm sure if it's advantage or disadvantage. I think it both has the balances out. There are also a couple more young people, I think 16 and 18. But I think it's going to be so much fun. And it's a great opportunity having this at such a young age.
What's your worst racing memory?
My worst racing memory is from Autoclub Speedway back in January of this year when I ended up crashing. We had to replace the subframe and motor mount and everything like that on the Miata.
If you could change anything about the sport, what would you change?
There's probably nothing I would change about the sport. I love it so much. If one thing I would like to tone down a little bit is the politics, probably.
Do you follow any of the other, I can't think of the word, like NASCAR, and do you follow any of those?
Yeah, I like to follow NASCAR. I was really happy when Joey Logano pulled all his wins in a row. I did not like what Kenseth did either.
Oh! See, Adam, he agrees with me.
You're bound to get at least one person who agrees with you every so often.
I'm okay with that. So your ultimate racing goal is to race the Rolex 24 Daytona. What about the Le Mans? Have you ever thought about racing that eventually one day if the opportunity came?
If that opportunity came, I'd be ecstatic. I wanted to do both.
And who's your favorite race car driver?
My favorite race car driver. I do not have one favorite race car driver. You know, I like them all, but I definitely like Carl Edwards and Joey Logano and Darren Brasfield, my coach.
You're a smart kid. So who are some people that you look up to in the racing world?
Some people I look up to in the racing world would probably be Mark Drennan, my competitor. My dad. I also look up to Dobson, Tim Barber, Tom Long, who also came from Grassroots Motorsports and now racing a prototype, so that's really cool.
What advice would you give to younger children? Wanting to race?
Some advice I would give to younger people who want to race would probably be get into a Mazda. I mean, they have such a great program for kids, and such as Teen Mazda Challenge, where you can race it as a 13 or 14-year-old, and they have one at the East Coast, Rocky Mountain, Texas region, and West Coast, and they have it everywhere. It's so much fun.
You mentioned you'd be interested in racing in the Rolex 24 as well as in Le Mans. Do you think that the Mazda prototype will actually be in Le Mans in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully. That'd be really fun. I really enjoy that.
Been doing a ton of work on the Mazda prototype. It's a great looking car, and hopefully you have the opportunity to get into it sometime soon. Good luck with the Mazda shootout this next week.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining the program, and we look forward to hearing more about you in the future.
Thank you very much.
Once again, that was Mason Filippi, who's one of the competitors in the Mazda Road to 24. Their shootout they're going to be holding on November 8th through the 10th. Until issues earlier on the program, we're going to bring back Joshua Allen for a few more moments. Hopefully our connection's a little bit better this time.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for having me back on.
No problem. I was asking a little bit about the Mazda prototype. How do you feel about the fact that they're changing from diesel to gas next season?
Well, I think it was a right decision. They don't really have any diesel vehicles in the U.S. market. I understand that was kind of the intention of developing a diesel program with the prototypes. And I guess with the recent Volkswagen debacle, that turned out to be a good decision not to bring the diesels to the U.S. So I think it's really exciting. It's interesting to see how Mazda is progressing. And you know, I hope it turns out to be a good decision for them.
What are you most looking forward to at the Mazda they're going to have from November 8th through the 10th?
Well, I think what's really exciting about being a participant is that we're going to have access to some of the best talent in the industry, because they're bringing in judges from various aspects of the motorsports industry. And we're going to have the opportunity to interface with those people. We're going to be doing some data analysis while we're on the track. So I'm actually going to benefit and get a little bit of coaching while I'm there. It's also going to be a good experience to put my skills to the test as far as where I stack up with some of the best competitors in the nation. I mean, these are all championship winning Mazda drivers, and it'll be fun to see, you know, where I stack up. On top of that, it's going to give me the opportunity to improve my marketability. Being selected as one of the finalists itself is quite an achievement. And then I'm also going to have the opportunity to present my business proposal, get some feedback, and improve my ability to attract sponsors.
Now I'd like to throw you out to Michael Mullally and Alfredo Washington, who has a couple of questions for you as well.
In your opinion, what is the greatest thing you have accomplished in or throughout your racing career?
Well, believe it or not, I had the opportunity of being a Maserati test driver over in Italy, and that was the experience of a lifetime. It would probably take a whole session just to talk about that experience, but it was really great for me, and I've also had the opportunity to work as an engineer for Ferrari's Formula One team. So I feel like this has given me a really strong foundation to be a competitor. And just some great memories from that time.
How, I don't know if you guys talked about this earlier, but I don't remember what I was going to ask now. What has been your greatest racing memory?
Well, I was talking about earlier, I was talking about the experience I had at the NASA championships. I was going into the corkscrew and hit the brakes, but my pedal went right to the floor. So I ran out of braking force, but fortunately I was able to slow the car down enough to make the corner. I thought, you know, I may have lost my brakes. I may have been out of contention, but I managed to kind of coax the car back into shape. I had to give up my lead while doing it, but my brakes came back and I was able to build my confidence again and ultimately challenge for the win and take the championship.
Oh, wow. What has been, since you've been a race car driver, what has been the toughest position throughout your career that you have had the liberty to be in?
What do you mean by position?
Like, really bad at wording things sometimes. Do you ever find, take what's going on with NASCAR right now. Do you ever find that sometimes it's kind of hard not to follow, the negativity? It's hard sometimes to not get sucked into it, I guess.
Oh, that's a very good question. Now that I understand what you're saying, absolutely. Racing, it's, when we're on the track and we're competing, our performance really comes down to our lap times and our ability to lead races and win those races, win those championships. But there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. And as competitors, we have to deal with all of that. We have to deal with maybe there's a decision by an official that you don't agree with, or maybe you feel that one of your competitors isn't playing right by the rules. But, racing is also a mental game as well as a physical game. So you have to take a mature approach to those situations and ask yourself how much you're going to let that affect your performance, because it's very easy to get lost in your own head. You start making some bad decisions, you start making mistakes, and it's possible to lose the race in your head before you've even given yourself a chance to compete. So absolutely, it requires a lot of maturity, and that's one of the fun aspects of racing. It's one of the things that forces us to challenge ourselves and to improve.
Do you, if you could drive anything in the world, what would it be?
Oh, I've had the opportunity to see some of those the older historic Mazda prototypes, and those cars are so exciting. I think the 787B, the old early 90s Group C prototype car, I would just love to get behind the wheel of that thing just to experience the speed and the sound and just thinking about it gets me excited.
I had the opportunity to see one of those run at the historic race they had at Daytona last year. So that's pretty impressive. Wow. Pretty impressive.
I'm afraid we might be losing you again, Adam. Hey, Michael, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, I think it's just you and me.
Yeah. How long have you been racing?
My career started in 2001. That's when I first started working as an engineer for Ferrari, and in my spare time, took the opportunity to take some driving schools. And first driving school I ever had was on the snow and ice up in the Cortina Mountains in Italy, and when I took that class, I realized that I just had to keep doing it. I was addicted from the moment I got out of that car. And so I started competing in the Formula Ford National Championship over in Italy. And that was a great experience too. You can't get a more pure form of racing than with a Formula car. So I really got an appreciation for that. And that's what really opened the door for the Maserati test driving job, because within my network at Ferrari, I had the opportunity to speak with Ferrari's chief test driver, Dario Benuzio, and he was interested in having an engineer on the team. Generally, test drivers come from the production background, from guys who do the testing of the road cars and who do the durability testing, and then they move into a development test drive job. As an engineer, I kind of leapfrogged over the entire process, and they gave me the opportunity to be a test driver for Maserati, which was owned by Ferrari at the time. And so that was a great experience. Unfortunately, it meant that I had to stop racing. They didn't want a racing driver to develop the cars. They considered it to be a different discipline, and so they wanted me to focus entirely on the development of the road cars. That was a great experience. I had the opportunity to drive up in the Arctic Circle, driving on the frozen lakes at Bosch's testing facilities, driving down in the south of Italy at Nardò at their huge high-speed test track. Just kind of running all over Europe, the Nürburgring. I had the opportunity to drive the Nürburgring on several occasions. On one occasion, I actually ran 600 miles in one day doing durability testing, and that was just an amazing experience. But it wasn't really until I got back into the U.S. that I was able to pursue my racing again. So I've been racing for the past 4 years with a Mazda MX-5. I've been trying to get into the shootout for 4 years, so this is a really exciting opportunity for me.
Have you ever competed in any dirt track racing?
No. I mean, I've done some rallycross where I was just driving my street car, my Mazda 3, driving it through the dirt, and that's a lot of fun. I mean, it's not quite like the professional rally racing that we see on TV or on the internet, but that's a lot of fun, sliding the cars around. I haven't really done too much circle track driving. I had the opportunity to take a class locally at our Irwindale Speedway, where I got to get into a stock car and run some laps. And that was actually a great experience because it gave me an appreciation for what those guys do out on the track. It's a different kind of driving than driving on road circuits. Just the way that they drive so hard into those corners and the way they scrub the speed off and rolling on the throttle coming out of the corners, it takes such a finesse. You know, I think that people don't really appreciate it without actually experiencing it.
Well, we'd like to thank you for coming back on for a second time tonight, and we apologize for the technical difficulties, but we appreciate you being patient with us.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate you guys bringing me back on, giving me the opportunity to talk to you. It's really exciting to be a part of this whole process with Mazda and the shootout and these opportunities that you guys are presenting us with.
Of course. Well, we would like to wish you luck with the Road to Mazda shootout, and hopefully we can have you back on to discuss how it plays out.
Yeah, that would be great. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Thanks. We'd like to thank all of tonight's guests, as well as Dean Case of Mazda Motorsports, for taking the time to share a bit about their love of racing, and wish them the best of luck in 2015 and beyond. You can find out more about the 2016 MX-5 Cup race car and the Mazda Road to 24 shootout on the Mazda Motorsports website, MazdaMotorsports.com. Candidate videos can be seen by searching for 2015 Mazda Road to 24 on YouTube. Late this afternoon, NASCAR issued what should be their final statement on the incident between Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano. Today, the National Motorsports Final Appeals Officer, Mr. Brian Moss, heard and considered the appeal of a behavioral penalty issued on November 3, 2015 to Matt Kenseth, driver, relative to NASCAR Sprint Cup Series vehicle number 20 at Martinsville Speedway. The penalty concerns the following sections in the 2015 NASCAR rulebook, sections 12.1 and 12.8. The original penalty assessed included suspension from NASCAR until the completion of the next two NASCAR Sprint Cup Series events and placed on NASCAR probation for 6 months. Following the issuance of the penalty notice, earlier today, a three-person National Motorsports Appeals Panel heard the appeal and made the following decision. One, the appellant violated the rules set forth in the penalty notice. Two, the panel affirms and upholds the original penalty levied by NASCAR. Upon hearing this afternoon's testimony, the National Motorsports Final Appeals Officer made the following decision. One, the appellant violated the rules set forth in the penalty notice. The penalty is amended to suspended from NASCAR until the completion of the next two NASCAR Sprint Cup Series championship events, placed on NASCAR probation through December 31st, 2015. The decision of the National Motor Court's final appeals officer is final and binding on all parties. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. We thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again on November 12th in the Thunderdome when we welcome Lights, Motor, Action, Stunt Driver, and Mazda Road to 24 contender Eric Powell.